Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Okay, welcome, everybody, to another reality show with some very interesting music. I do have to learn how to work this. I think I'm just going to delete the music. Anyways, oh, my God. First of all, I'm Golden Hawk, yes. And I am super, super excited about the show tonight. We are going to be doing my guest tonight, who was scheduled, the lovely Renee, basically got an offer to make some money tonight. And as we all know in these times, she took the money and ran. And I honored that with blessings because it opened up the ability for me to have on the show my roommate from Al Means Pod this weekend from Florida. And she's exquisite. My roommate is exquisite. I am super duper excited about tonight's show. We are going to be talking about, well, the things we experienced basically from the pod in our lives, in our frequencies. I'm incredibly excited. I hope there's a lot of interaction with the chat room as well as with the come on in and call. So, all right, wait a minute. I was going to do something. I was going to promote a hotel, the Hotel Indigo in Albany, New York. They basically have these amazing hotels. I think there's like 28 of them around the United States. Their whole premise is that they built them to have a peaceful and serene experience, which I'm trying to book and find a hotel for Al Mean to come into New York. So I ran into this hotel, and I'm just putting it out there. Hotel Indigo, if you need a hotel to stay in, and I'm not quite sure the 28 where they're located, but if you check online, see if they're in the state that you're in. I wanted to promote them because this is all about promoting spiritual businesses and people that are consciously working more than just the physical plane, but the metaphysical plane. And I honor that, I support that, and hence I am promoting that. So that's my plug for today. Now we're going to get into my beautiful guest who, boy, I'm going to plug you all night. Sorry, babe. Okay, Dawn Leader is, she's phenomenal. I really lucked out when I got Dawn as a roommate. She has been remembering her connection with the divine infinite and the metaphysical world for over 10 years. She's been studying the works of Al Mean for about a year and definitely has found a connection to the work and knows that she is home in this work, as do I. Dawn started drawing sigils, which we will definitely talk about what a sigil is tonight. She started drawing them in 2004. These sigils carry the frequency of the infinite, and they're like telephone numbers to these infinite beings like angels, fairies, even gods and lords. They're really, really powerful sacred geometry is how I would call them. Welcome to the show, Dawn. I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks, Goldie. I'm glad I'm here, too.
So how are you doing since the pod?
It's amazing and a little difficult to weave myself back into daily life in the corporate world, but we're easing on in.
We are easing on in, and I absolutely agree with you that being in the frequency of an ascended master is quite an experience. It genuinely pulled, like I feel like there was a gentle stretch of my soul that really helped me manifest things that I've been intending to manifest after being in the pod, or actually it was during the pod that they manifested. And I mean, one of the biggest examples is that I went in water where I couldn't see my feet, and that was a major phobia for me. being in any kind of like ocean, and shucks, it doesn't even have to be an ocean. I could be in water at a playground with the kids where they kind of like dug out this big ditch and filled it with water. I could be in there and I'd stick my feet in and the sound of Jaws would be in my head. And my whole vision was, you know, the hole in the center of this pit opened up. These monsters from, you know, the center of the earth were rising up to the surface to drag me down into the darkest spaces of existence. You know, and we're just at a playground, you know. So you can imagine it. Because one of the things I really get is that phobias don't have to, there's no logic to this. A phobia is how you feel, you know, and it's your truth in the experience. In other words, when people can't breathe because they're in an elevator, they genuinely are experiencing suffocation in that elevator, whether it's, you know, the logic or not. While you're experiencing it, it's real. And I did not experience anything. I actually was in the water Saturday night after the pod, and the sun went down. I mean, I was in the water at night, and it was like, wow, this is healed.
Isn't that amazing? You're right. The same thing happened to me. My big fear was, oh, what if the corporate world finds out who I really am, that I channel, you know, from the infinite and the divine in a different language, speak in tongues, all those kinds of things. And when I did my first pod back in April, I came back and I had no fear of that. I am who I am. And so all that fear is gone. And you were amazing. I remember you saying, oh, the water, and there you were, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, you were there with me on Friday night. One thing I try to, you know, express to everybody that, you know, runs and plays with me and works with me, whatever term you want to use it, it's so important to have personal experiences of the divine, not just hear about somebody else's personal experience of the divine, but actually have a personal divine experience. Because unless it's been had personally, it's very difficult to trust, you know, the whole next step that comes from that.
Yeah, it's just someone's story.
It's just someone's story, exactly. And by the way, Almeen, you can check out her website is spiritualjourneys.com. And she's an ascended master. I mean, she is somebody who is genuinely expanded. Genuinely expanded. But I want to talk about, me and Dawn's experiences as well as, you know, it's not that I don't want to talk about Almeen, but Dawn is, you know, Dawn's a pretty expanded being too. And I was really quite impressed with your whole presence the entire weekend. Your presence with me was, I mean, I basically, I'm a cocky little thing, but there's a definite presence to me that is also shy and timid, and you know, I like having someone I can be what I call a security blanket. You were definitely my security blanket, and you were very you never made me feel less than because of that. You just, there was a nurturing side to you that you were fine with it. And then you were funny because when we kind of went our own separate ways Saturday night and you came home, you're like, Mom's home. Which was so cute. I enjoyed that very much. It was like, because I walked up to Dawn and I was like, yes, and where were you, young lady? And then I was like, you know, it's all good. And she did. It was all good. We were completely exploring, the energies. So, yes, we were dancing, Queen of Pride. We were dancing in the energy all weekend. So,
oh, definitely. The weekend was just amazing experience with everyone who was there, and it really allows all of us to be more of who we truly are at our essence. you know, really connecting with that piece of us that is infinite, that is God or Goddess, and just allowing ourselves to be in that complete space all the time.
Yeah, like living.
It's so wonderful.
It really is wonderful. I mean, because I don't think, I don't feel like I've come down. Because, you know, I guess one of the things I want to talk about, I definitely want to talk about our God experiences. Essentially, the work that was done, you know, this past weekend was, I'll speak of it from my own personal experience, and then, Dawn, if you could share how you experienced it, that would be awesome.
Sure.
I experienced that all parts of me, and I believe parts that I was definitely even subconscious, I didn't even know, but all parts of me came back into my being to be integrated into a wholeness, which that is like, I think, a wonderful way to define a creator, being whole and being complete and not being fragmented and separated. And
definitely.
Yeah, because I believe the reason why I'm not having the fear of the water is because, you know, like maybe there was a lifetime that I died in the water. You know, I was on a ship or something, or maybe there was a lifetime that, you know, I got stranded in an ocean and sharks killed me. Whatever it was, it's like, it seems like when there's aspects of who we are that are not integrated into this consciousness by choice, because for me, the integration is about, you know, we created ourselves to be in a safe space this weekend. We went into the dark aspects of who we are, which are like things that we do to self-sabotage ourselves, things that are unauthentic to our heart, and things that are unauthentic to our minds. And by working these aspects in a conscious way, you know, meaning we were writing these things down, we were owning, you know, our sabotaging ways and our unauthentic ways, it allowed them to say, okay, we acknowledge those ways, but we're here and we welcome them back into us. So it's no longer an aspect of us that's not embodied. You know, it's like, come home and be loved. The dark side wants to be loved. That's
right.
How I felt.
And Almeen talked about it was like we were a grapefruit or, you know, an
right.
orange, where there were the sections and we were kind of sectioned off. And so what it was like was not only bringing pieces back that and honoring the shadow side of who I am and really bringing that into wholeness, it was dissolving the membrane between the different aspects of who I can be sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm this type of person when I'm in the corporate world versus this type of person when I'm in a spiritual setting.
Right.
And so for me, it was really dissolving and really, being that one truth.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I see flower patches, and Flower Patch, call in. I want you to come on the show. Christy, come on the show. Trish, can you put the number to the call in? Christy, come on the show, because I would love for you to share. Christy is also another beautiful being that was at the pod with us, and I would love for her input on this as well. But indeed, because, you know, I have a feeling the things that happened on a metaphysical level to all of us this weekend, for myself anyways, is going to still unfold beyond coming home, you know, beyond the ending of the pod on Sunday.
Right.
You know, that it really, like, I'm not even completely aware yet of how deep, because, you know, when people ask me what I did this weekend, I'm like, I went really deep down the rabbit hole.
And sometimes it's hard to even verbalize yet what that was. And some of us talked on Monday before, you know, I headed home, and it's like keep practicing these techniques right now, because that's what allows us to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Right.
And being more one, and
right.
being more of the truth of who we really are, and in our divinity connection with the infinite and being the infinite.
Oh, definitely. Because it really is about more than a language. You can't speak it. I mean, we can try, but the truth is it's beyond language. Well, it's beyond the English language. I don't know that it's beyond the sigils and things of that nature.
Right, and a lot of times that's why I use that. I use sigils, or I use the ancient languages, or the mother languages, the father languages, in some of the work I do, because the mind kind of gets preoccupied trying to figure out maybe what that is.
Right.
And then the frequency can go into the heart and open and activate what needs to be expressed, what needs to be opened.
Yeah.
So you kind of trick the mind by using those sigils, by using the different languages in the work that I do anyways.
Right, right. Well, talk about the work you do, my friend, because you do some deep and beautiful work. Feel free to talk about anything. We can go into Bell Vespita. We can go into anything you want to go into.
Well, the work I do, I've studied a lot of different modalities, and I haven't looked to see what you have up there for my bio. But
I basically cut and pasted what you gave me from the email.
Okay. My focus really right now is the work with the Infinite Mother and with Almeen. I've studied a lot of other modalities, but for me, the sigils and the language is home.
Yeah.
It is the truth of my being, of my soul. And so the sigils were a gift to me from the Infinite. After I had done a lot of earth work, I had gone and done a lot of earth healing after there had been an earthquake locally. And when I went to go do that work at the epicenter of the earthquake, I came to different places that I was guided. I basically got in the car with my friend, and we said, turn left or right, and we would hear turn left or right, and that's the way we journeyed. And we came to a place where there had been a murder at a beautiful state park in Illinois that has the Indian Mounds, which are very special and hold a lot of beautiful information. And we did clearing work there. We ended up in a little town where there had been a tornado. We did a lot of healing work there. And then our final stop was the epicenter.
Wow.
And after we did that work, the sigils started to come to me. And I didn't know what they were at first. They just come through very quickly within a few minutes. And I just kept accumulating them, knowing they were information to be, and the meanings would be given to me at some time. And I kind of had put them away. And then 2 years ago, the language started coming to me. And, you know, I've heard of light language and different types of languages. And, I, you know, through my guidance, I said, what is this? And it came to me that what I was told was what I bring through is the ancient language from the Office of the Divine Mothers.
Wow.
And so I may go to a group of people and bring through language, and when we're done with the blessing or the activation of that language, different people will come up to me, and they will have connected with a different mother. Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, a different feminine aspect speaks to each person's heart.
Right, right.
And so then my dear friend said, hey, I found Almeen. I'm studying with Almeen. And I listened to her YouTube and just you know, just sobbed because that was my connection. That was like, oh, this is what I'm bringing through. This is confirmation of what I do. And
well, I'll tell you, as you're talking right now, I don't mean to interrupt you, but there is this wave of energy coming over my head. it's like, whoa. I mean, I can literally, it. Remember when she talked about that fog? My hand is buzzing now all of a sudden, but there's, you're speaking of it, and it's, you know, one thing I love is because of when I used to do the radio on AM, I have headphones, and, you know, I don't do this just from a phone. I do it headphones, microphone. So whatever my guests speak of energy things, it comes over me. You're speaking about it, and it's coming over me.
Yeah, it really comes from my heart because it's my passion.
Indeed. Babe.
And it is my truth of my past being physical is to be in the heart and to awaken hearts and, you know, allow rememberings and allow connections and the Divine Mother. You know, when you say I have this mothering, you know, energy or sense about me, everyone says that.
Right.
And that's just who I am and who my infinite connection is. So
you are exquisite. I got this today as I was driving. Dawn is the new beginning leader. It's like you're helping all of us energetically, clearly, and myself personally. All of us come into the new golden age.
Right.
And it's, I mean, to have the experience of the pod and then have you as a roommate, you know, I believe they call that, you know, that's like 777 across one of those, the pole things, the one-armed bandits. Ding, 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 we have a winner. I was so blessed that you were my roommate because I have I have an energy that has a potential to really rile people up, and it didn't. Neither one of us got riled, and I was just so grateful because I knew I wanted to experience this with a roommate. And then I surrendered it, to be quite honest, and for a good reason because you showed up in all your Dawn Leader glory. You were so awesome. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it would be possible to maybe channel some language?
Sure.
Okay, guys, you've got to hear this. It is exquisite. Or sing a song. Remember that song you sang on the beach?
Yeah.
That was whatever you feel comfortable. I would love for you to, you know, let the guests hear, the listeners hear what you share, your energy of this language.
Let's bring through some language, and if you want a song, we'll do a song in a little bit.
Okay.
So just go ahead and everyone allow yourselves to center in your heart and just allow yourself to feel. Allow your mind to do whatever it needs to do. Take a deep breath in. Yamita ya e koshta tana ya a niya ata ye niya ata ye o makona ya na a mayati ya ana a kitana. Kita na ati no ash, kato na yama a, yita na a ye a mito na ya a, koshita tana ya a.
Oh, wow. I'm telling you, that's a beautiful thing. That just washes over me like beauty. That's beautiful. We have some hands up in the on the switchboard. You're okay to take some? I have a feeling these are pod people, but
yeah,
I don't know their number, so I'm gonna take it in. Okay,
great.
334 area code 334. You're on, and if the computer's on, if you could just turn down your computer, that would be great.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi. How are you both?
Great. How are you?
Grateful. What is your guest name?
My guest name is Dawn.
Dawn. The language that you just spoke, it sounds...
Oh, we lost her.
I'm still here.
Oh, your hand went off. Okay, good. Okay.
The language that you spoke sounded very Native American. Do you have any idea what you were saying?
I was kind of waiting to see if the translation would come through. This would be just a synopsis of it. They give you just a little bit of English to allow, and then you have to feel there's a lot more than what can come through in limited English language.
Sure.
It's basically a blessing of everyone's hearts and the work that they do for the infinite, the connection of spirit, the appreciation of the infinite for all that we're doing, and allowing our hearts to expand and grow and love.
Wow.
Mm.
Beautiful.
It had beautiful tones. I noticed there was a couple of words which seemed repetitious, which is why I asked you if you knew what it meant. One of you mentioned the name and of someone. It seemed like it began with an A. Apparently it's someone that confirmed what you were doing, what you are doing.
Yeah, Almine. A-L-M-I-N-E. She's a... Well, you know, it's funny because I saw Christy in the chat room say, I mean, she really has, she is beyond an ascended master. She's a living God.
Yes.
Now, well, God, Goddess. And, you know, it's so interesting because I realize when I say something like that, the potential of triggering all sorts of resistance to that, because, you know, it's very interesting from my own perspective. I really understand that. What I was taught as a child was God is not my experience of becoming whole and knowing myself to be a creator. It is a very different experience. I mean, clearly, I'm not an old man with a long beard, nor is Almine, and she doesn't live in the clouds. You know, she lives in Newport, Oregon. So it's... I often say an ascended master because it almost seems like from a mass consciousness level, that would be where mass consciousness is ready to accept her, even though it was clear over this weekend that she is clearly, you know, she's in the God kingdom. And I would like to say that when Dawn was drawing her sigils this weekend, the sigils were also coming in from the God kingdom. So it's like all of us seem to, as a group, be moving into a space that is, you know, the next level of consciousness, which is, that's the nature of evolution. That's how things become into being. We evolve. So I did want to say that. I'm going to take another caller because we've got a few people with their hands up, but thank you for calling and asking. Do you have another question?
Well, yes, there is one more question.
Okay.
Do you do sigils for people, like channel them, like now, for people?
Yes, I do. I do individual sigils for people. So I connect with their energy and bring through a specific, usually it'll be a group of sigils that come through for people. So I think if you would want to email me, we could chat about how to get that, how to connect with you on that.
I would do that. How do I email you?
My email is dmleader.
What is that? Reader, leader?
Leader, leader. L. Yeah. Sorry.
L-E-A-D-E-R.
Okay.
at earthlink.net.
And I know Trish has been putting your information up on the chat room, too. So,
great.
Okay. Thank you. I'll just mention that it'll come from Queen something or another. I'm not sure which email I'll send it from, but Queen will be in there and mention that I spoke with you this evening. And thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'd like to continue to listen.
Oh, of course. Please do, Queen. Of course. Of course. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you both.
Oh, blessings. Blessings. Okay, now we are taking caller 262-470. Oh, I shouldn't be telling people. Sorry. 262, you're on the air. Oh, that's you, Dawn.
That's me. I'm like 470, that's me.
Goldie's a big kooky bird. Okay, okay, nobody's hands are up, so if anybody else who's on the line would like to ask a question or talk and share a story, you're welcome to put your hand up and we'll go in there. What I would like to do now, though, is, Dawn, can you express a sigil? What is a sigil? Because my feeling is that people might not know what this is.
Sigils carry frequency and have meaning. So they're a little bit different than in the past. There's been a lot of symbols. Sacred geometry has a lot of symbols in it. Christianity has a lot of symbols in it. And sigils really carry the frequency of possibly an angel, a goddess, a lord. There might be sigils for fairies. And so it carries a frequency of light. And it is a little hard to explain. You know, back in the old day, we used to use some symbols for other healing modalities. And these really carry a different activation and call forth whatever that sigil is representing. So if it's representing, let's say it's a healing sigil for the heart.
Okay.
It really calls forth to that heart to open and allow the heart to heal. And it, you may have a sigil for, and this is part of the Belvaspita.
Yep.
You will then also have a sigil of an angel that works with that sigil for the heart. And so the two together then call, those sigils call forth those frequencies to work with healing of the heart or you know, healing of the abdomen or healing of the hands.
Right. Well, and Almina has brought through several healing modalities. And like, I believe the work we did this weekend was about some sigils that came through or some information that came through for things of the mind, like autism,
Alzheimer's.
I was going to say, and what's that one you forget? Boy, I am such a creator. Yes, I am. I keep forgetting Alzheimer's. But, right, autism, Alzheimer's. There was
attention
one more.
Attention deficit.
ADD and schizophrenia, I believe, as well. And so it's really interesting because when we start understanding ourselves from the perspective of frequency, light, vibration, you start understanding the genuine power and simplicity in something like by speaking the name of the sigil, by drawing the, you know, the picture. I mean, it seems so like I'm not doing it justice by saying it's a picture, but by drawing, you know, following the lines of the sigil that you're genuinely bringing into your experience or into your client's experience, the wholeness that is creating the disorder or the out of balance in the first place.
That's right.
That's very powerful.
It is very powerful, and it's a connection with all of that. If versus in some modalities, you had to try to bring that energy through you. In this modality using sigils, you expand into that, or expand to be that.
Right.
To be that perfection.
Well, and to know yourself, because that's kind of like the nature of Almeen's teaching or experience, is expanding into the knowing that we are everything.
Right.
Which is really quite powerful. What I found most exciting was how this weekend, I mean, we genuinely went into the dark light. Knowing, well, at least for myself, I can only speak for myself, knowing that I was the dark light. In other words, I wasn't afraid to go into the dark lights of me because it's me. You know, I mean, and by bringing that, because she talked about how when we bring the dark light back up with the white light, that there
yeah.
will be a canceling out of illusion, and like an alchemy takes place, and in the alchemy is, you know, the experience of a wholeness that, you know, like I said, I think I'm just beginning to experience.
Right. And many of us have been through what maybe would have been considered a dark night of the soul.
Yeah.
And so a lot of us have worked to get past that, and this really embraced it.
It did.
And embraced it with the light to cancel both out. Neither should have been better than the other.
Exactly.
Because it was illusion.
Yes. Yes. And it was, because I really felt the sense of the separation coming together.
Right.
Well said. Okay, somebody's hand is up. Even though, you know what? Pardon?
We also have a question in the chat room.
Yeah, and I saw that. So let's do the question. Dawn, can you do readings for people?
Well, in my old ways of doing things, I did do different types of readings. In this way of doing things, it's almost a little bit more of helping you find the truth of who you are. So might be considered a little bit more of life coaching, or...
Hello?
Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I just thought you lost me.
Yeah, and I thought you lost me. I won't leave you, babe.
Okay.
We're on the air. Sorry.
So it's really helping you find your truth of who you are. So, you know, it's that old word of readings is not really the truth of what it is any longer. Now, can I see maybe frequency within you that's blocked and say, you know, maybe we should do Bel Vospitar, or we should do, you know, 13 Gates, or we should do something else? That I can do.
Well, because she says, Julie from Scotland said, can you tell me what I need to hear? Which I believe you've already started to do. God bless, you're good. but I'm wondering if maybe you can focus on her.
Okay, let's see.
Okay. And then caller 414 will get to you next, promise.
what I feel, and this feels like it's for more than maybe just Julie. Was that her name?
Julie, yeah.
Is for really to go into the stillness or the silence of the heart. Mm-hmm. I know that Almin talks about silence of the mind, and many of us can kind of do the silence of the mind. Once we get to the silence of the mind, it's moving into the silence of the heart to allow the truth to come forward. That's where the sigils come for me. That's where the language comes for me, the oracle work that I do for Almin or for other people. Is really comes from the stillness of the heart, that
right.
really wonderful place.
Well, would you say manifesting comes from that as well? Like the miracle?
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's where I connect with the infinite.
Yeah.
You know, because for me, my heart is the universe. The universe is contained within my heart.
Right. Now, would you say that that's a feeling? Well, silence of the heart, if you could put it in English words? Or surrendering, or?
There is a sensation, which I guess feeling is a good word.
Okay.
You know, the best English that we can use, that is very motionless but tingly at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Awesome, babe. Okay, I am going to take caller area code 414. Let's see.
That's Wisconsin.
Oh, then maybe this is one of your friends, Pumpkin. All right, 414, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm not sure I'm a pumpkin.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
I think I'm more like a princess. Or maybe I got it.
You be a princess. I honestly, I don't know. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I went, where did that come from?
Well, I'm sort of a Cinderella. This has got a spy.
Hi.
I have visited with Dawn in the past.
Okay.
And I am also a student with Almin.
Oh, excellent.
And what compels me to call tonight is the beautiful difference between you and Dawn. And what a challenge and joy that must have been to be roommates.
Indeed.
Can I be a chick and say that?
You can be a pumpkin chick.
I want to ask Mother, because there is so much going on here in the United States, although I know this is an international show, there is so much going on here in the United States, and I want to remind us that we are to love and enjoy such differences because it is who we are. The next pod, I think, after Malaysia is Alaska, just Sarah Palin's home turf. And I would expect that many people listening to this would go green, thinking that it might be Sarah Palin's home turf. And I want to remind us, with Mother's blessing, I think, that we need to learn to talk to each other and work together and love past our differences and get along and solve problems. So that would be my request of Dawn, if she might like to comment, but mostly to bring through a blessing from Mother and to remind us that we are all about love and finding it.
Thanks, Vi. That is so awesome because, you know, Goldie mentioned earlier how she can be a let's use the word trigger for people at some times. And for me, it was like oh, this is so awesome. Let me see what this is for me. You know, let me experience this wonderful being that is me in a different way. And we had the most amazing conversations, and even though we're very different people, I'm more mellow and quiet and calm, and Goldie is more talkative and outgoing. We had the most amazing experiences together, and everything we would talk about was so similar.
Exactly.
Oh, and I would say to you that my pod roommate was my diabolical opposite. She was, I was maternal. She was needing a mother. I mean, it was very, very interesting. And we were good friends walking into it and even better friends leaving it, although the time in between had its hair-raising moments. And it was a great, great, joyous experience that both of us will forever remember. And so I just remember that the differences is what really brought us together. And maybe we need to remember that.
Well, and I would like to say that one of the things that it holds true for myself, and I clearly got that from Dawn as well, is when we do this, when we jump down the rabbit hole and decide to go deep into our experience, it's clear that we're going to be triggered. I mean, this is clear from moment one, whether it's going to be the person, whether it's going to be Almin, whether it's going to be the wind, the way it chose to blow that day. We're going
or maybe
to be,
we are the trigger.
Well, but I think the key to it for anyone going into this type of work is the self-responsibility. I mean, there's got to be the space of this is my stuff and I need to heal as I need to heal. Not, you know, if someone triggers me, it's not about me wanting them to change. It's about, you know, okay, I'm triggered. Now I need to go sit somewhere and meditate or go swimming or roll in the sand or say om or hug a tree or whatever it is that I do or anybody does. It's really about as long as you own your personal feelings, it never gets that stickiness of, you know, the anger doesn't turn into resentment and the resentment doesn't turn into loss of friendships because everybody owns what they're feeling.
Yeah, and you get to embrace seeing a different aspect of how the world or people are, or, you know, in Florida at the pod, there were people from all over the world,
yeah.
From Holland, from Ireland, from Canada, you know, from all over the United States. So you get to see different cultures. You know, one wonderful gentleman, Simon from Toronto, he's originally from Africa. So, you know, you get to experience your own beingness by experiencing things with others.
Yeah.
And why would you ever think about judging that experience until you've had it? You know,
or
just allow
others,
it.
Or judging just others to bring you that experience.
Yeah, just allowing it to unfold. And what I like to do is stay what I call neutral, is be loving and be observing and not always have all these big emotions about it.
Mm. Sometimes you can't control the big emotions.
Well,
I can't control. I mean, I can get triggered emotionally. But I've been doing this work a long time, and so, I mean, I know immediately, okay, disconnect from whatever the trigger is And if possible, go to the woods. I mean, that's just what works for me. Go to the woods, Goldie, and cry, yell, scream, punch, whatever. Just, you know, take it into yourself to clear it. I mean, and that's not to say that I don't, I love when, you know, I have friends that help me, you know, they might put me into a meditation to calm me down and relax me. Or I might listen to some kind of sound frequency thing too. Because sometimes, you know, what happens when you get triggered at night and you don't want to drive to the woods at night? You know? What are you supposed to do then there, Goldie? Huh? So, I mean, I wouldn't recommend that we control our emotions. My whole recommendation is own your emotions. Be the creator, be in charge, and then go from that point. Oh. I guess that was a deep thought. We all went dead air. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Vi. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm going to, I'm just going to put you back on hold. And, you know, it's interesting because this is a deep subject. I mean, clearly, you can't start speaking of ourselves as God and not call it a deep subject. But what I'm, okay, there's two sides, so to speak. I mean, there's more than that, but there's the side of the clearing and that which we are awakening to, you know, that which we're not. But I do want to spend some time this evening talking about that which we are, which is, you know, I haven't talked to a lot of people who have been to the pods or to the Florida pod, but myself, I'm having amazing experiences in creations. And you know, I have yet to get the $1 million at the bottom of my closet. That hasn't come yet. But I'm really not a $1 million at the closet make me happy kind of gal, meaning I'm happy, you know, if I can create a rainbow. I'm happy if I can create, in all honesty, I wanted this to be an Almeen Pod experience show. And this afternoon, my guest who was scheduled from last week to be on this week called me up and or emailed me and said that, you know, she had a job, some gig, and, you know, she hoped I wouldn't be angry, but she was going to take the money because she needed it. And in divine order, it manifested. You know, she got what she wanted. I got what I wanted. You know, and no control. You just kind of intend it, let it go, and watch it happen. Have you had experiences like this? I mean, I know you have.
I agree with you. I think you already set the attention in Florida.
Did I say it in Florida?
Because I remember you saying to me, I want you to be the first one on my radio show.
Oh,
after the pod.
Wow.
And I went, wow, I got a lot of stuff to get together. Because I don't have my website updated with my, you know, my new way of being yet.
Well, and just so you know, first of all, Dawn, I hope you become a regular on my show. I mean, this is clearly the work I want to share. This is the frequency I want to share, and you're an exquisite representation of everything the pod represented.
Thank you. I would love that.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely felt, you know, a deep connection with many of the people at the pod. I mean, there were 72 people, so I didn't have, you know, like an intimate connection with everybody. I didn't feel any discordance with anybody. But, you know, there was a little group that, you know, the group that went swimming. I just, you know, the Toronto people, I really connected with Christy from a shamanic point of view. I mean, the people that I connected deeply with, I feel like you guys are really genuinely a family to me. That is like, it's just very nurturing to know you, to be able to say that you're physical people that I know now, that I can call, that I can have on my show, that I can be a part of your lives and you be a part of mine. because community is really, really important to me.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It's what makes me. It's what brings me the peace in my life. And it's so funny because 10 years ago, if it wasn't a significant other, you know, that was the only thing I was looking to manifest, a significant other. And now it's like I'm looking for significant family, you know, because 10 years ago, significant other, I'm pretty much heterosexual, and so it was all guys. But boy, the nurturing that I get from women in my life now is, you know, Goldie's applauding. Thank you, guys. Thank you, gals. It's like, oh, the nurturing of the divine feminine, nothing beats it. From people, from trees, from animals, boy, nothing beats that divine feminine. Nothing.
I agree with you. I totally know, even more so after this pod, that this is my family. This is... These people are who I want to be with. Well, you know, one of the funny things is, and my family doesn't know this yet, or they're going to know as soon as I say this now, if they're listening. My family is coming home to my home from Florida in August for a big family reunion.
Okay.
I'm leaving them in my home and coming to Ohio Pod to be with my spiritual family.
Wow.
And there's no place, not that I don't love my biological family, but there's no place that I would rather be than
yeah.
with a group of people. And I have spent a lot of my life keeping myself separate. Being in fear of being different and being in fear of, you know, being in the corporate world, you know, being top management level and having that fear of, oh, gosh, what if they knew some of these things about who I really am?
Right.
And because of this deep connection with this family that we created, starting for me, actually with my group here in Wisconsin, when I did my level 1 and 2 Belvaspata training, was my first acceptance of how I have abandoned myself and my spiritual family.
Wow.
And that reconnection has been so deep and so opening of my heart. And so it is just an amazing experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can feel it. I can feel the love. Just like I was at the pod right now, it's this feeling inside me that I lack nothing. I am everything. I'm safe. I'm willing to be creative and I'm willing to stumble and fall. When I know you guys are around me, I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's like there's this feeling of stumbling and falling is part of the path and the journey, but there's no failure. I mean, I basically went to my first pod and came home and said, okay, I'm going to create the New York City pod with another beautiful pod member, Anne. You know, and it's like, you know, sometimes I scratch my head and go, wow, Goldie, look at you. Because it's like going from 0 to 60 in 4.9 seconds. And yet, you know, first of all, no one's pressuring me. I mean, you know, it's going to happen if it's meant to be to happen. I've had magical experiences. I've had triggering experiences. I'm experiencing both. And it's like, but the sense of confidence, the sense of, just a genuine love, a love that is different than I grew up with. It is like genuinely an unconditional love, that I'm loved whether I complete this task, quote-unquote, or not. The love is not pending on whether the pod gets created, but the love is so supporting to help me want to create the pod.
Right. How many people, you know, you came to pod the first day and was like, I have to meet New York people. And every time we turned around, there were New York people or Massachusetts people.
Yeah. I mean, and Anne has been talking to me. She was like, I mean, she was frazzled. It was obvious. And I was like, you know, listen, what do you need? And she was like, I need to find a space. And it's like, okay, I can do that. I just know I can do that. So let me find a space. And because I was telling her since I'd been home, rest, mm-hmm. because that's in divine order. I'll do what I got to do. We'll get the space. And then when, you know, because she's going to do the writing and the emailing kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm sure I can help, but it's a matter of, this is the part that I know I can get done. So just rest, Anne, rest, because she said to me, she goes, as soon as you came on board, I didn't want to surrender it completely. And I was like, I need to surrender it completely.
Right.
You know, you got the ball moving. This is just about knowing that there's help out there, because
right, it's a cooperative effort.
Yes.
Co-creation.
Yes, absolutely. Because I mean, I'm not alone. I've got my go-to girl, Trish. Absolutely, she's a travel agent, for goodness sakes. Who do you go when you want to plan hotel and airfare and airplane? Oh, you go to a travel agent. You know, this is about all of us understanding that a cooperative effort. And it's like the divinity that comes with the magic is I'm inspired. We're coming home from the pod. I went 3 months. Oh, plenty of time to create the magic portals that go through no time. We can do this.
Right.
And we are. So, yeah. Also, I welcome anybody if they want to call, if they have story where where an intention and something happened effortlessly. And because I think, you know, that's what we should be doing. We should be sharing these stories is possible, and not only possible, but being created. Because clearly the other medias are sharing, you know, the possibilities that we don't want to create. So let's flood the frequencies and the space with the things we do want to create.
Right. Well, I'll just share my experience. I know I mentioned it to you earlier when we talked, but I'll share it with the audience of my experience of coming home from Florida on Monday, which really allowed me to keep practicing being that infinite connection. Got on the plane flying from Tampa to Chicago, and first the pilot says, oh, we're going to land 15 minutes early. I was like, oh, great, because I only had an hour connection in between. And we know Chicago is always behind, always delays. So on the plane for a little while, all of a sudden, pilot announces we're in a holding pattern. And we're going to arrive 45 or 50 minutes late. And I went, wow, that doesn't leave me but like 20 minutes to catch the other flight. So I thought, well, I can adjust this. So, you know, I went into expansion and connected with the infinite and, started to create that, the air traffic fog of the air traffic block was dissipating. And opened my eyes, and within a few minutes, the pilot comes on and says, oh, things have cleared up. We've been the go-ahead to proceed. And so that was wonderful. Still landed where there was only half an hour, a little less, maybe 25 minutes in between getting to my next flight, and I had to go another terminal and quite a distance, and I was a little panicky because I don't know my way around Chicago very well, and started, you know, hustling over, and finally I went, oh, well, I can expand this time so I can get there. So I just paused and, you know, took a couple deep breaths and said, I'm going to expand time and allow myself to get there, and and got there, and they were just boarding, so that was perfect. So that was, you know, two times connecting with the infinite.
Intentionally.
Intentionally, consciously.
Exactly.
And then get in this plane, get out on the tarmac, and all of a sudden the engines on the plane go off, and I'm like, okay, now what? And the pilot comes on and says, oh, all planes going north have been stopped because of weather on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. So I said, well, I can clear this up too. I just, you know, did a couple other things. So I expanded and went out there and saw where the storms were and started to allow them to break up. And a few minutes later, I hear the pilot say, oh, the storms seem to have dissipated and are headed east back over Lake Michigan. So they're going to let a couple planes go towards Wisconsin and see what it's like, and then we're going to have the go-ahead. And so then, not too much longer after that, we were allowed to proceed. So I was like, wow, this is so awesome. It was, you know, something little, but
yeah.
I could really be consciously aware of how I had created that.
And that's not little, that because I think we start off little, but even though I would say weather and planes, I mean, imagine people who are traveling, you know, on a daily, weekly basis for their businesses, you know, knowing that instead of getting caught up in the whole, you know, spin of, oh, yet another delay, you know, another this, another that, they take a breath. Because what's so interesting is what you were doing consciously was affecting everyone on the plane.
Sure.
So on some level, they were creating it with you.
Right.
Because there was a harmony going on with, you know, it's like, I mean, I just think it's fantastic when we start really understanding that, oh, my God, life can be so playful. And it's like, you know, you talk to people who are, you know, right now going through tremendous challenges. I mean, this is, it's so ironic because we were at the deepest point of challenge, I believe, you know, as a race, the human race, we're also at the highest pinnacle of God consciousness, you know, of God self realized. So, you know, it's like with an ever so slight shift in our focus and where we're placing our attention, you know, what once seemed to be totally, you know, challenging experience can turn into a miracle. I get from your story that there wasn't a lot of effort. You didn't have to write down these intentions and say them three times and put your hand on your heart. And you know what I'm saying? There wasn't a whole lot of.
I didn't have to call in sigils or
exactly.
Any of that stuff either.
You paused. You breathed deeply for a few moments. You said, I can expand into timelessness, into the time space that I want to be in. And then you surrendered.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, isn't that the simplicity of the divine? And were we ever taught that God was so simple? You know, even in our old religions, they had us kneeling, standing, you know, hit your head here, you know, whatever those things are. You know,
rock yourself this way, not that way.
Exactly. We're doing everything, and it's take a few breaths, expand, intend, and watch it happen. I mean,
yeah, it is really that simple. And Now that I'm thinking of this, I have another really fun story about that,
please.
Too.
Okay.
I had done a Belvaspita session for my partner, Jeff, and we were going to a fundraiser for a friend of ours who had breast cancer. And all of our spiritual friends were going to be there. And we went there with the intention of how much we were going to donate or what we were going to do to donate to our friend. And we really went there to have fun because there were bands that had volunteered. There were all kinds of raffle prizes and silent auction things. So we went there really with the intention to have fun. And we, you know, bought our raffle tickets and we had donated in different ways and we put our name on silent auctions or whatever we did. And we really decided to have fun being with people. And they'd call the names or the numbers, I guess, for the raffles, right? And our friend wins. And all of a sudden I went, oh, I need to set my intention to win too.
Right.
And so next thing, my friend is like, hey, that's your number. So I go up there and I win, you know, and then I came back and I said to Jeff, I said, I intended to win. So he intended to win and he won.
Wow.
And so we kept doing this like the whole evening, having fun. And we won so many gifts, so many raffle prizes. And we would get something, and it wasn't really something we were interested in, and we'd give it away to someone else.
Oh, nice, nice.
And then there were these two little girls there, and they wanted to win so much. And I won like 20 different things, Goldie.
Wow.
And these two little girls, you know, it was the last door prize. They really, really wanted to win, you know, and they didn't win. And so I had, like, gotten, like, a little pedicure kit and, like, a little beaded bracelet thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so I went over and I gave each of these little girls this thing, you know, this wonderful friend of ours, his little girl. And they were so excited and they were so grateful.
Mm.
And, you know, people during this time were starting to kind of make fun of Jeff and I because we were winning all these things. And my one friend who, like, is a channeler and stuff, she was kind of like, hey, can you, like, calm it down a little bit? People are, like, starting to wonder what you're doing, you know? And so even though people were questioning what we were doing, so
They were in fear.
We were having so much fun.
Right.
Receiving, giving and receiving. And when we left there and we stepped away from having all this amazing fun, what we recognized was what we ended up, what we were left with after we had given away. I bet we gave away like 6 different prizes, you know.
Right.
We had so much abundance. The value of the things that we had received were probably 3 or 4 times what we had intended to donate.
Wow.
And just the day before, we had worked a spiritual, you know, where you have booths, like a spirit fair kind of thing.
Yep.
And I kind of said to the infinite, my last thing I need to overcome is being in the corporate world because of financial security.
Oh, my God.
And so this was my answer from the infinite on how if I stay in the joy and don't buy into other people's fears or other people's expectations and just stay in the joy of giving and receiving, how I'll always have enough abundance.
Absolutely.
And it was just amazing.
And because the key is the joy is the abundance.
Exactly.
That's why it's not
that
like
was worth more than any of the gifts.
Exactly.
You know?
But I mean, it's like, how does it show up? Well, it shows up as health. It shows up as, you know, maybe something physical coming in. Maybe it shows up in the joy of the clouds parting and a plane can, you know, then land. It's like, it's such a panacea because joy is not resistance to what is. Joy is acceptance to what is.
Right.
And I do know, I got a listener out there because I see her phone number. That is one of the challenges for me that I'm learning in this lifetime, that acceptance. It's so much, you know, like understanding life that I don't need for someone else to be anything, whether it be joyful or abundant or healthy or whatever. I don't need for anyone outside of me to be anything for me to be that. You know, in other words, it's my responsibility to be Goldie's universe and Goldie's experience. Everybody else's, it's their personal responsibility to be their universe. Because, you know, one of the things I was saying, a good friend of mine is, she does a lot of creative things with, like, screenplays and books, and she writes a lot. And one of the things I noticed is, you know, she's got a lot of energy right now around a screenplay and stuff for her, and I genuinely was so excited for her when she told me that somebody called up about the screenplay. I mean, it was like, there was no jealousy, no envy. I literally was like, if she's experiencing this, and it's, you know, somebody I know, then I'm experiencing this. And so it immediately told me, when you think about somebody showing interest in a screenplay, I look at that as, okay, from my perspective, that's a one in a million. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's many people writing screenplays. So for her, that's such a testimony to who she is in her experience. And it so kicked up my confidence of who I am that I could create this this experience for the New York Pod, that I could get I can get a hotel and I can get everything we need in the price range that I want it to be in. Why? Because I'm creating all of it. It's not whether it's available or not. It's whether I'm creating it or not.
Right.
There's nothing that isn't, only if I say it isn't. If I say it is, then it is because it's my universe. That to me is such a, you know, it's almost a paradox because I'm super stoked that I don't have to heal the world. But the paradox is, in my belief systems, I have to learn to disconnect from that experience of healing the world. I can't heal the world. I never could, but I have to. My program says I can. And when that world is not feeling good, I then in turn don't feel good. You know what I'm saying? I got to learn to disconnect from that.
And it's because the world, like I commented before, the world is in my heart.
Yeah, yeah.
So if my heart is good, the world can be good too.
Absolutely. And is. And,
right. And is.
It will show up as such.
Right.
Okay, 203 has her hand up. I know who this is. I got it. Yeah. Welcome to the show, 203.
Stop talking about me.
It was the only way I'd get you to come on.
I was going to anyway, but I was too busy listening to you talk. And I'm so happy that you actually listen to some things that I say.
Of course I listen to it.
It thrills me to no avail.
Well, welcome to the show, Jules.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, wait, before we go on, Jules has a radio show. Plug your radio show.
It's the Solstice Hour, and it's on every other Sunday at 3 o'clock.
There you
on Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
No, it's Blog Talk Radio. You only have 13 seconds left. She drives me crazy when she does that.
All right, so talk to us about your God experience.
Oh, Lord. It was quite a God experience.
It was amazing.
Not actually called me on the phone. It was pretty cool. Goldie was telling you about my screenplay, and when I write, I channel. I'm an automatic writer, and I channeled this screenplay, and it's kind of a new-agey romantic comedy. And I sent it out there into the world, and I sent out, you know, I'm going through this list of literary agents to find representation for this screenplay. And I have like a criteria that I have to follow, and I'm every now and then when I have extra time, I call these places, or I send out, or I look up on the website to see exactly what the submission criteria is and all that. So last Friday, I had made a few phone calls, and I'm like, oh, half the time, an agent will never call you back. They never call back. They're just too busy, or it's someone you know. You know, it's just too much.
It's just part of the
deal, and it's just how it is. And I'm okay with that. You know, it's like whoever really wants it will want it. Well, Monday afternoon at 5:15, I recall the time perfectly because it's a really important factor in this story. My phone rang, not once, but twice, and I picked it up. And it was kind of it was like somebody was on a cell phone and was kind of breaking up a little bit, and I couldn't really understand where they were from. But then she said, you have a screenplay, and I said, why, yes, I do. And she said, well, this is Jane, and she told me what agency she was from, and she told me that, and I asked if they represented screenplays, and she said, yes, they do. And we had this entire conversation. I went into my Excel spreadsheet and made sure I had the appropriate address because sometimes they're not updated, and, you know, went through this whole thing, no problem. I hung up with her. I, you know, put the thing together that she wanted, the information, and I put it by my door to go out in the mail the next day. Well, the next day, at 10 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings. And it's this woman, and she says she's Jane from the same agency, and she asked me if I have a screenplay. And I said, why, yes, Jane, I do, and I spoke to you about this last night. And she said, no, you didn't. And I said, okay. Well, yes, I did.
We have just entered the Twilight Zone.
I said, well, you know, yes, I did. And I explained to her the whole conversation. I told her about looking it up and checking the address so I knew I had the right person. And she's like, and she said, well, what time was it? I said it was late in the day. You probably forgot. It was like 5:15 in the afternoon. She says, I left here at 4:45. And then she said, you know, that it was totally impossible. She says, because she always crosses off whoever's name it is. She says, mine was the first name on the list. And I said, okay. And I hung up the phone with her. After speaking with her for a few more minutes, I hung up the phone, and I just sat there. And I went, holy crap. That's a manifestation. And the first person I called was Goldie because I was squeaking.
Well, I mean, I'm laughing because when she told me this, I'm going, well, you know, we're at the pod becoming God. And I was saying to myself as I was on the plane, I can't wait to see how my experience of becoming God just through proxy is going to affect those around me. Because how could they not be influenced? One way or the other, they're going to be influenced because that's the nature of energy, right? We influence each other.
Of course,
right.
You do.
So, I mean, when she told me the story, I was like, well, you know, there it is. I mean, God called Jules. I was like, you know, I mean, she literally time traveled. I mean, things that we were talking about at the pod, Jules experienced.
Well, I went back on the caller ID after I hung up with this woman because I didn't believe it. And there was nothing on the caller ID from the night before. So it kind of freaked me out a little bit, and I was like, yes, if I can do that, then I can do anything. You know, so then I had this woman who owed me money from a class I taught her, and I said, you know what, she's going to stop by here today. I was walking the dog, and I came in the house. Sure enough, 15 minutes later, she knocked on my door and handed me a check.
Yeah, see, it so comes down to, you know, the knowingness, because then there's no struggle with it.
Right. You just have to let it go.
And know it because
it
will
be there. Yep.
Right.
And that's exactly what happens, you know. It's like you were talking about before, the disconnect.
Yeah.
Goldie and I had spoke about this before. You can be a supportive friend. You can be a supportive person of other human beings. You just can't attach it to yourself.
Mm.
You know, you have
that's
to, like,
very well put.
Keep it separate from your own space. Be supportive and say, you know, and send them love and light and you know, honor where they are. But that's the key, honor where they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That I know. And I'm looking up going, I know that's my challenge. But as I know my challenge, I promise I will become that which I desire to be for my own self. And then, of course, everybody around me will benefit from that because it's where I want to be. So what are you thinking, Donnie?
I think that's amazing, and that is a really wonderful creations. And, you know, it is the knowingness and sitting back and saying, okay, let's just wait now for it to be physical.
And there is an expectation to some degree, right? I mean, you know, it's an expectation without attachment, though, isn't that the paradox? Because I guess it's not an expectation, it's a knowing.
Yeah.
You know, like when Anne came up to me and said, I need to find a place, I knew I can find a place for the pod. I just knew it. I didn't have a clue on any of the details. I just know I can find a space. You know, I mean, you got to go through, I guess, somewhat through life and the process of it, the unfolding of the knowing. But there's a knowing that accompanies this way of creating and this working with new consciousness or consciousness and energy. And because it's such a, it reminds me of the visual I get is if you have sand and you try to hold the sand and you squeeze it in your hand, all the sand comes out. If you want to hold sand in your hand, you have to keep your palm open. No squeezing, no controlling.
You have to keep your mind open.
And your heart. Mm-hmm. And your heart, it's like a three, you know, it's three levels. It's the mind, it's the heart, and then it's the consciousness itself. Well, you know, flowing through you.
Yeah, it's staying open to all the ways that you can't even imagine of how it will happen.
Yeah.
You know, so many times other people have taught, oh, visualize, you know, exactly what you want, the specific house, the specific car, the specific color, the specific man, the, you know, the features, all these things.
Right.
And that's really limited our opportunities.
Yeah, I agree.
Creation.
I agree.
So it is allowing the hand to be open and see what shakes up to the top.
Yeah. Well, because that's the trust that your intention is heard and you know, there's one of the things I heard today in one of my channelers that I listen to, I'm going to plug it, crimsoncircle.com, is, you know, to understand that this particular lifetime that all of us are in is, first of all, it's very different than what we've been in other times because of this conscious shift we're going through, the quantum leap, the whole metamorphosis of consciousness. But to understand that when we're creating, we're not just creating from this quote-unquote incarnation. We're creating from on a circular path of all incarnations we've been living. And, you know, it's like, I mean, I got from like that it's like, because I really believed, you know, when Almeen said at the pod that we were part of a group that she was instructed to bring home. I mean, I've resonated with Almeen's work since the moment I opened her website. But it took me 8-9 months to actually get to a pod. But once I got there, it was like it didn't matter that I had not been to pods before. And I was there and I was supposed to be there and I knew that. And I knew that on the deepest level I've ever known anything in my experience in this lifetime. I've just never known something to that degree of multipleness. It seems like every incarnation knows I was supposed to be at that pod. And I know that every incarnation knows that. And it's just an understanding that we're creating on such a more level than just this story, this body, this lifetime. It's much, much more than that. Much, 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 much more. And that's part of the awakening, is that, you know, we're not an individual lifetime. We're an individual experience on many lifetimes. I don't even know how to word this.
Well, and is it simultaneous frequencies occurring?
Yeah, that's a good way to word it, because there is a oneness in that it's becoming unified. That's what the whole thing of, you know, taking back our dark aspects was about, unifying our experience. But it's always been, you know, the dark has always been experienced. It just wasn't unified in this frequency, maybe.
Well, and there was always the good and the bad.
Absolutely.
You know, versus it's neither.
Yeah.
You know, it is just the story.
Yes.
Which is not truth.
Oh, my God. So not truth. So not truth. And, I really want the listeners to know that this is just the story. I mean, this is...
Well, the wonderful thing that Almin talked about was, you know, why someone asked, why do we have physical bodies then? Why, you know, if a lot of this is illusionary and stories and things like that. And it was really wonderful how the original purpose was to have a game of delight.
Yeah.
And... you know, for all of us to go back to that thought process of, you know, being physical is for delight. And then how are you going to create from delight?
Exactly. That's, you know, because as soon as you said that, the definition of God to me was explained that it's about experience. And delight. In other words, just keep creating. We get so hung up on the right and the wrong, the good and the bad. And it's like, and people say all the time, well, if there was nothing governing, quote unquote, us, we'd fall into this terrible dark space. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, nothing's governing us at the Almin Pods, and it is pretty clear to me that everybody's got each other's back, everybody's looking to, you know, uplift, and yet on the same thought, nobody's interfering with anybody else, everybody's just letting each other be, and we are all delighted in that space. You know, it always cracks me up when people say if we took the government out, that would be a total chaos, and everybody would be going after their own and or going after people, you know, the stealing and the murdering. And, you know, and I'm cracking up because at the moment, the biggest corruption is happening around the government. Gee, that's funny how that works. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, government represents our level of consciousness, but you really do reach a point where you don't need to steal from another when you know you can create anything you want. Why would you steal it?
And it's about your own personal government of you.
Self-governing, yeah.
Self-governing, you know. And that then is a reflection for the world.
Right.
So if your self-governing is in... your personal alignment in your truth, then as more and more people, you know, are coming in that space, then world government is that also.
Yeah, because I don't think we should be afraid to govern ourselves. I think it's part of, you know, taking our power. Not taking it back, because the truth is the only reason why it's not, we don't have our power is because we gave it away. But how can you really ever give your power away? That's an illusion to think you can give your power away. It's an illusion. Because you can never not be a creator of your experiences. You can be unaware that you're creating, but you could never not be creating your experiences. That's an impossibility.
Well, it's not being fully present. It's being oblivious.
Right. Too. Right. So it's just about a matter of awakening to the idea. Because I know a lot of people, when they first go through the awakening, I tell them, you know, from my own personal experience, when we first wake up, it's usually we wake up, we look around, and we are knee-deep in poo-poo. Because when we first awaken, it's usually because we've given so much of our power away, expecting the rest of the world to make us feel better, that life has just gotten really, really challenging. But that's the paradox. When it's really, really challenging, that's when we wake up and go, hey, maybe there's something I can do to change this. I've tried to have a spouse make me feel better. I've tried to have things make me feel better. I've even tried to religion or spirituality to make me feel better. And it, you know, it's like
or drugs, whether
or
know,
drugs,
recreational, alcohol, prescription.
Yes, yeah. Very much. Well, and is that to make us feel better or to truly? I think the prescription as well as recreational, it's really about when you choose. Okay, I'm just not going to feel at all. Mm-hmm. Like I'd rather feel nothing than feel what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think there's
that is feeling better to some degree.
Well, not
feel
in,
nothing
until
than feeling bad.
True, but until we recognize that feeling nothing, then there's no joy either. You don't just eliminate the feeling bad. You eliminate the feeling joy as well.
You're
you
right.
Eliminate everything. So now it's almost like what I would say. It's like Dorothy when the world was black and white. I mean, she clearly had challenges walking the yellow brick road, but boy, black and white. I've heard statistics that more people commit suicide on antidepressants than off of antidepressants.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think what it is ultimately there. See, I have a big thorn, so to speak, with the antidepressants because it's my understanding that they're cutting off life force. They're not just making a part of the brain say, hey, don't feel this, like an aspirin. They're cutting off life force.
Right, and we talked about that in Florida. And my experience was, you know, I was on antidepressants, oh gosh, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago or something.
Right.
They, at some level, it kept me in fear.
Okay, keep going. What?
You would not feel, I guess, as depressed or as down, but you could not necessarily feel, like you said, better because there was always this level of fear of maybe feeling better or feeling worse again.
Right.
And so there was very little movement,
right,
with spirituality, with, you know, changing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point because, right, at some point, I don't remember where I read this, but I read this or saw this somewhere where there was this little blog thing that said, you know, I wouldn't wish for my child a perfect life. I would wish for my child the strength to know it could get through trials and tribulations. And I would wish for my child the courage to know that it could overcome a fearful experience. It's like, it's really about redefining what doesn't feel good and why something doesn't feel good. Why is it on our path? Why did this experience come up? Did it come up, you know, to kick our butts? Or did it come up because we're like in a space where we can become superheroes to our own experience? I mean, that was one of the feelings I had being at the pod with everybody, especially, I mean, being in the water. I was like, oh, my God, I'm my own superhero. Because there is just, it's such exhilaration and excitement that to be in the water and just enjoy the water for the beauty and the peacefulness and the serenity, when for me it's been such a place of doom and fear and monsters and, you know, that whole doo-doo. I'd literally be in water in my ankles, and I'd look for the shark fin. I'd be craziness. But it's like, you know, we're so much stronger than we know. And the beautiful part about all the experiences that are coming on our path, we've placed there ourselves. These are our expressions. These are our challenges. We have the answers. We have the solutions. We create the you know, it's all self doing this, you know, for the experience and the unfolding of self.
Right. And moving real fast or moving a little slow or the roller coasters or...
Definitely. Well, I think what's really wonderful about this show, about, you know, you and Jules and everybody that's participating on the show, is the understanding that, you know, the famous saying, "This too shall pass." You know, if we think about our lives, there's been moments where we've had, you know, great joys, you know, and great moments of, you know, and it can happen in first grade. You know, you ace a test, or I don't know, you're in a play and you get all your lines, you know, and then, you know, a couple of years down the road, your parents get a divorce and your world falls apart and it's scary, and, you know, and then you heal from that and you find the inner strength, you know, and then you have another exaltation, and, you know, it's like, it's a journey. It is the roller coaster. We go up and we go down. I mean, it's not defined by just one thing. It's defined by everything, all things, the beauty. And because I really can say that the darkest hours of my life have been some of the most incredibly, deeply moving spaces where I found a place in myself that I didn't know existed until I went into that dark space. I mean,
one of the things I've always looked for in those, you know, times of struggle or trial was to say, what is the gift in this?
Yes. Yes. Once we know it's there, even if we can't see it, again, that's that knowing. When you know it's there, it will show up. If you don't know it's there and it's just a matter of, okay, this is what I deserve because, you know, because I'm going to live a life of just, you know, victimization and poor me, it will never show. It will never show unless you know it to show. And then when you know it to show, it actually becomes a space like we experienced at the pod where I was excited to go to the dark light because I knew by going there something wonderful was going to come of that, the phobia being gone. And the second thing that I know significantly that has changed for me is I seem to have lost my issues around my body shape, because the pod where we were doing it in Florida, when we went outside, the conference room led out right by the pool. And, you know, there were clearly young, beautiful, attractive women. And that would normally put me in a space of, you know, I would cower and kind of cover up. And boy, I just was out there feeling their beauty and feeling my beauty. And I mean, genuinely feeling my beauty. That's the thing that It's like, because I've set intentions that, all right, I'm going to let go of this body issue. One of the things, here were ways that I would like kind of walk my path. The Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo painted the angels chunky and plump, you know, very full-bodied and very voluptuous. So I'm like, hey, there are angels. That was, and that's a, you know, that's a pretty famous depiction of angelic experience.
Definitely.
And then my second one was whales and elephants, which are clearly, you know, expanded conscious beings, mammals on the planet. Clearly, both of them are, you know, one's dealing with blubber, the other one's, you know, they're just big animals. They're fat, but they're not negative because of that. They're high conscious beings. And I'm going, well, then maybe there's something to having weight on my being with high consciousness, meaning that's a good thing. So those are the two things I did. But until I felt that confidence walking out of that conference center when I saw those people in bathing suits. And see, what I noticed is, just like it was with Jules, I didn't, like it used to be, I'd say, okay, you're beautiful, but where's your consciousness? That's what I'd say to myself to make things better.
Mm.
I could see their beauty, and I could see my beauty. No one had to lose when I came out of that conference center. And that is, you can't beat it when you're feeling it, when it's in your cells and you're feeling it.
That is true. I definitely felt the same way, that I felt a whole new level of self-acceptance, self-love, self-appreciation.
Yeah.
And how can you not, when you recognize you are our God and you are part of the infinite and everything is created in perfection.
Yes. I mean, and that's it. See, that's it. I mean, it's like, it wasn't a thought. It wasn't a concept. It wasn't pontificated. I saw the beauty and felt the beauty. Oh my God, it was so, I swear to goodness, it was like, hallelujah. I heard the angels singing in the sky. I mean, I was just like, wow. And it was like, coupled that with the, there were definitely things that Almeen said that, like I said, I don't necessarily feel what she saw for us as a group, but I trust Almeen that it will unfold for me as my experience unfolds.
And that's part of your experience, which is a beautiful path.
Right. Right. Definitely. 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 Wow. Whew. It's like 200 degrees in my room right now. I mean, it's really warm. And it's so interesting because wherever we just were, I was, I left the show. I mean, I do this expansion thing, and I don't know I'm expanded until I come back and go, wow, where was I? And it, you know what I mean? I'm in a conscious space, but I was not in my room doing my radio show just now.
It's kind of like when you were talking to me and I couldn't hear your words at all.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is... Indeed, I hope that this energy is felt through the radio waves, because, you know, one of the things I love about radio is they're waves, and energy is waves. So I really believe that, you know, the radio can carry these waves, you know, and the things we're speaking of can be experienced personally, you know, by the people listening through their own, you know, through their own interpretation of the wave of the energy, and show up in their lives as a God experience.
I feel the same way. And it is experienced by many of us all over.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we're almost at the top of the hour. We still have some time, but I want to make sure that if you have anything, any upcoming events that you want to plug or anything that you're doing, creating, being, sharing.
I'm doing a Belvaspita awareness event on June 13th here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
If anyone is interested in attending that or finding out more information, please email me and let me know. I'm going to plug that there will be a global Belvaspita day coming up in August. The date hasn't come out for sure. It'll be around August 7th to the 10th, some time in there, because it's around the time of the OhioPod.
Okay.
So everyone can look forward to finding more information out. Let's plug Almeen's website again, which is spiritualjourneys.com. Or if you want to find more out about Belvaspita and the sigils, the angels, it's belvaspita.org.
I believe it is .org.
Let's
spell Belvaspita too.
Belvaspita.
Okay, good.
And I'm glad that woman called in before, because that is something that I have just started doing this spring, is doing personal sigils for people. I do them with pastels and just tap into the energy connection and see what comes through. A lot of times there may be a language message that comes through with that also. So if anyone's interested in that, they can email me at dmleader@earthlink.com.
.com or .net?
Oh, you're right, .net.
Okay, good. Trish had your email up as net, and I was like, uh-oh.
No, it is .net. I'm in that expanded place now.
I know. Well, and it's funny because at this point, it's like all we have to do is talk about being expanded, and we become it. I mean, I believe that's, you know, part of whatever the depth of that we went to in Florida. That's what has come from this. Because I do want people to know that we are planning a New York pod, and, you know, magically, mystically, esoterically, and everything other, Lees. it will be held September 11th, 12th, and 13th. I don't have a space yet, but I will definitely let you know when the space comes through. The intention is to have it by July 16th. In all honesty, I'm hoping to have it by next week. So to make anybody who wants to come for booking, to do the booking of airplanes and all that kind of stuff, it makes it a lot easier the more time you have. So everybody was amazing. Thank you so much. So much love, Dawn, for you and me from the chat room. Everybody's been feeling this. Yeah, Pearly and Elm, and we have a lot of guests, and Christy, I love you, girlfriend. I want you in. I want you to call up sometime. And of course, Jules, my girl Jules, she's such a she's a hot commodity. Look for her. Look for her next. Look for her star. I'm going to visualize your star on that Chinese walkway. we all did this, man. Tonight was awesome, Dawn. You rocked it.
Thanks so much, Goldie.
Oh my God, are you kidding me? Thank you. And what I'm thinking is, since we kind of, you know, just brushed the surface of Belle Vespita, that next time you come on, let's go deep. Let's go deep down the rabbit hole and do Belle Vespita, you know, maybe call out some of the names and maybe do a healing or, I don't know, whatever seems to call to us. But there's always stuff to talk about when we share who we are and how we are and, you know, just bliss out with everybody. I love you guys. They're all sending big hugs and big love, Dawn. Big, yeah, I don't know if I can, I'll see if I can copy the thing and send it to you.
That'd be great. I went in a room where there isn't a computer, so I'm not seeing the chat room part.
Yeah, no, and that's all good. I have to sit out because it's the way I do the switchboard. So that we have callers on today. I mean, this was, I'll be honest with you, incredible energy, incredible interaction for this show. And I believe magically the divine, the infinite, was calling everybody here. Because Allie Awake is here. I see your girlfriend quietly sitting on the phone. I love you. A lot of my friends, a lot of people who I don't know who I would love to call friends. Come on, next time, hit that number one and come up on the, come talk to us on the show. Because this is a safe space. This is a space where you can express yourself and shine your divine light. That's the whole point. So, well, we got like 4 minutes left. I don't know what to. Oh, will you sing a song?
Sure.
That would be awesome.
You want me to sing that one I sang on the beach, right?
I want you to sing anything you want to sing. Your singing rocks my world. Oh, don't go away yet, guys. Just listen to this beautiful, beautiful voice of Dawn's. It's exquisite.
This calls to the Creator and really sends appreciation and love. And so if anyone wants the words and the meaning, they can email me, and I've got that too. So
excellent. And I don't want you to worry about time. If you hear a woman with an English accent saying how much time is left, sing until you don't want to sing anymore. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Because that's why we got, you know, we did all our linear stuff. Now we can just be with you singing.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi Yo-hei-hei-wa Yo-hei-wa 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 Yo-hei-hei-wa Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi Yo Hey Wa 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 Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi Yom HaShiach Eimi Shishi
Shishi, Yom Mashiach, Emi Shishi, Yo hey wa.
Wow. You rock my world, Donnie.
Right back at you.
So much love. So much love. Everybody, I'm just going to leave you. And mwah, I love you all. Just exquisite. Exquisite, Donnie, you're exquisite. Namaste, everybody.